I want you to extend a welcome today to Todd Still, who's here to bring us the word today. He is the Dean of Truett Seminary. A few years ago, long before the disaffiliation process, he created a pathway for Methodists to get training to become a Methodist preacher. He has done so much work as a Baptist on behalf of Methodists. And the thing I love about both Baptists and Methodists, we all love Jesus. He loves Jesus so much and demonstrates that in his daily life. And I know you'll be blessed by his bringing the word today.
Well, good morning, St. Andrew. That was awfully friendly. Thank you. It can be lonely up here. I am really glad to be here. As I come, may I bring you greetings from Baylor University if you want them. If some of you say, absolutely not, may I bring you greetings from Truett Seminary, where we are preparing, equipping the next generation of ministers and missionaries, those that God has grasped. We're preparing for gospel ministry, and we're grateful that we're able to do it alongside churches, including St. Andrew. So you may or may not know it, but we're partnering together in this work. You're sending us students, and we're training them, and we're sending them back. And it is a really rich and reciprocal relationship. Arthur and Becky and Sam and Ella Reese have become good friends of mine. And so he is subjecting you to me because of that, I think. So really grateful to be here. Thanks so much to the worship team, Hannah and Austin. And thank you, Jimmy, for your hospitality and your help. And I'm grateful that you're here. Could we just pause and pray together? Spirit of the living God, would you fall fresh? And would you, by your good grace, use the words that I speak from your word to fall on fertile soil? And our hope is that they would ultimately reap 30 and 60 and 100-fold. We, like Samuel of old, say, speak, for your servants listen. And we give thanks through Christ our Lord. Amen. A text, that is to say, Psalm 100, is about to appear on the screen. And you all have been this summer engaged in a study of Jesus's prayer book. This is the eighth week in your study of the book of Psalms. It's a selective study, necessarily, 10 weeks out of 150 Psalms. So you take and choose, but we've landed upon a remarkable one today, Psalm 100, sometimes referred to as the Old 100th. This is one of the first Psalms set to music. So what we see is that Jesus's prayer book was also Jesus's hymn book. And any good worship leaders turn time and again to the Psalms as a source of inspiration and instruction. So this morning, I want us to look together at Psalm 100 and let's listen to and for God's word. This psalm that summons all lands to praise God runs. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. And all the people said, that's the one. You all, there are any number of ways that you can study this psalm. The way that I want to do so this morning is by recognizing that this psalm offers seven summons to worship the God of all creation, and it gives us seven reasons why. I'm not so sure that the psalmist intended this, but as I studied that which the psalmist wrote, this is what I hit upon. As it happens, the number 7 signals perfection. So Psalm 100 is, as it were, 100%. So we discover as we start this psalm, the first summons is to make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. We sang together, shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. We're not exactly sure how it is the psalmist wants us to make a noise. Maybe it's with our voice, maybe it's with an instrument, but that we would make a noise to the Lord, not just noise. We have a lot of noise. We make a lot of noise. Our life is full of noise. We distract ourselves sometimes so that we won't have to deal with ourselves. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. And isn't it interesting? It says, all the earth. It's almost as if though the earth becomes personified. Remember, we can hear in Isaiah, clap your hands, the trees of the field. You may remember as Jesus rides into Jerusalem on that Sunday that we call Palm Sunday. He is followed and surrounded by Passover pilgrims. And they're crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King of Heaven. And some of the Jewish religious authorities say, this isn't a good idea. Let's go ahead and cut. And Jesus said, if they do not sing praises, remember, even the very rocks will cry out. Shout to the Lord. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Because ultimately, worship of God is not the preserve of a single country or tribe. The vision of Revelation is that all people from all places and all nations would sing to the Lord who is worthy and worthy to be praised. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Note, serve the Lord with gladness. You may recall that one psalmist, that is the psalmist who writes Psalm 122, can say, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. We know in a very real way, this is not the house where God dwells. God does not any longer dwell in temples hewn by human hands. God dwells by the power of the Spirit within our very lives. I remember when I was growing up, I wasn't so sure that I was glad when my mom said unto me, let us go to church. But I am now. I was sitting there, standing there, deeply moved as we confessed together. I believe in one holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins. So we come together and we do so with joy. We are to serve the Lord with gladness and to come into his presence with singing. As the Psalter, that is the collection of psalms, concludes, divided into 5 books, it concludes with Psalm 156, 150, verse 6. And it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Suitable ending to a songbook chock full of songs to God regarding God's nature, character, and yes, so much more. The psalmist says, fourthly, if you're counting, know that the Lord is God. Realize, recognize who God is. Acknowledge and acclaim the Lord is God. It's true, isn't it? Our perception of God, who we understand God to be, will determine our reaction and our response to God. If God is some kind of clockmaker God who got it all going and then saying, I'm going to take an extended vacation, this isn't a God that you necessarily draw close to, is it? This is not the Bette Midler God who's watching us from a distance. This is a God who's come near in and through the person of Jesus the Christ. Remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and pitched a tent, tabernacled among us, full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God, but Jesus has revealed God, shown God, literally drawn God out, exegeted God for us. Growing up, we have two sons. Growing up, our eldest, who now lives in Dallas, or near Dallas, he asked me on one occasion, what is God like? I said, good question, I'll get back to you. That's a rather big question, out of the mouths of babes, right? And I began to wonder, well, what is God like? And I reached for John's gospel. God is like a word. God is like fine wine. Remember, Jesus turned the water into wine at the marriage feast of Cana. God is like a wind. Sometimes we need to think of God through pictures or symbols or metaphors, which do not ultimately exhaust God, but they at least give us pathways, portals, so that we may perceive of God aright. Because the way that we view God is the way that we will respond to God. The psalmist says, know the Lord is God. The psalmist encourages, summons us to enter his gates with thanksgiving, in our hearts, his courts with praise, and to give thanks to him. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, the psalmist declares, and to bless his name. Remember, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continuously be in my mouth. So we're given seven summons, seven calls to worship, seven ways in which to do so. And the reason is because of who God is. God is worthy and worthy to be praised. The psalmist ticks off seven reasons. We could give 10,000 reasons, thank you, Matt Redman, and never really get close to telling God all who God is. But here are a few reasons. Close to hand, put in short space. It is he who has made us. Someone once said, Christianity 101 is to realize that there is a God and we are not it. It is he who has made us. As you work your way through the Psalms, I'm told that one good way to grow in grace is to take three a day. Typical month has 30 days, 31. Take three a day. Work your way through the Psalms, and they will begin to work their way into you. When you come to Psalm 139, you're going to be arrested afresh when you learn again that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Sometimes some of us think that it is easier for us to love God with heart, mind, soul, and strength. and to love neighbor than it is to love self. It is He who has made us, the psalmist says. We are His. If you want good Bible reading, take your Old Testament and sometime flip to the Song of Solomon. It's a love poem. It's likely not what you've read of late. But once you make your way there, you'll remember, or perhaps learn, that Christians and our Jewish forebears would read the Song of Solomon not only as a romance story, it is that, but also as a way that we can envision our relationship to God. And in the Song of Songs 2:16, it says, I am my beloved, and He is mine. It is He who has made us. We are His. We are, 3 and 4 together, His people, grasped by God, people of God, called by His name, called from the dark, delivered from shame. We are His people. And as the picture behind me in front of you so beautifully portrays, we are the sheep of His pasture. Nowhere in the Gospels do we see Jesus say anything that is cited as Psalm 100, but something tells me that Jesus knew this psalm rather well. Not unlike Psalm 23, which my friend Will Dyer worked through with you last week, where the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want, and He makes me lie down in green pastures. Here we learn that we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. As you explore the Gospel of John, you will see that sometimes Jesus self-describes as I am. He can say before Abraham was, ego eimi, I myself am. This harkens back to Exodus 3, where Moses encounters God in the bush that burns but is not consumed. And God says, Moses, go to Pharaoh, go back to Egypt and say, let my people go. Recall, Moses said, well, that might be a good idea, but if I'm to go to Pharaoh and say, let your people go, who shall I say that you are? And God said, you can tell Pharaoh that I am who I will be, is sending you. It is the covenant name. It is Yahweh. And now Jesus, leaning into this, says, appropriating this, says, I am. And sometimes throughout John's gospel, he can add a predicate. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the vine. And then in John 10, instructively, I am the gate through which the sheep go, and I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Above the screens in the central stained glass window in this remarkable room, you will see a lamb. And that lamb is the Angus Dei, the Lamb of God. And as Jesus leans into this psalm and begins to understand His own identity and purpose and ministry, that which John the baptizer said of Jesus is true, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, the shepherd who lays down His life for the sheep. Stunning. Maybe the fount that gave rise to it is this very text which we are considering. And as it closes, it says three things about God. The Lord is good all the time. It says His steadfast love endures forever. You may remember that text in Lamentations. It says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. When I was growing up, one of my childhood pastors said, as you begin each day, before you even get out of bed, say, Lord, I make this bed my altar. I make my life your sacrifice. Do with me as you would. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, and his faithfulness knows no end. It's the gift that keeps on giving. As Paul can say to Philippian Christ followers, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. I notice that the supply comes before the need. The psalmist can relish the fact that God owns the cattle on the thousand hills, and God is faithful. It is absolutely woven into his character. Early confessions of faith found in, for example, the pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy says that we may be faithless, but God is faithful because God cannot deny himself. It is congruent. It's composite of his character. And so, some songs are so good that you put them on a loop. And this is what happens with Psalm 100, particularly the last portion of this song. If you think, well, I've read that before, you did. You read it in Psalm 100. But it appears again not only in other psalms, but also in 2 Chronicles and also in Ezra. The Lord is good. The Lord, steadfast love. It's this wonderful word. His hesed, his covenant loyalty never comes to an end, and his faithfulness is for all generations. As you look to and lean into your 40th anniversary, you're not only looking back, but you're looking ahead and you're also looking around. You're grateful for the past, you're hopeful for the future, but you're mindful of the moment. And like Moses of old, you're saying, what do I have in my hand? What is it that I can steward well? Because God is our help in ages past. He's our hope for years to come. Our helper through the stormy blast in our eternal home. Well, we see in this passage that there are lots of text and lots of words. So at the end of the day, you might be wondering, okay, what are the takeaways? What's portable and transportable for this day, this week, this season? A couple of thoughts. First of all, as we look at Psalm 100, we should be mindful of God's character and live life according to the fact that God is good. And that God is great, and that God is loving, and that God is holy, and that God is loyal, and that God is faithful. And so we extol him, exalt him, praise him, worship him. He's great. He's greatly to be praised. And not only does this text call us to be mindful of God's character, to be mindful of who he is, but it calls us to be joyful of God's care. God cares for you. In a world of billions of people, God knows your name. Scripture says, Jesus says that he knows the very numbers of hair on your head. That's become less difficult for God vis-a-vis me these days, but some of you may have more hair. And the truth is that his eyes even on the sparrow. He knows when a sparrow falls. So Jesus, in that remarkable summation of his instruction that we call the Sermon on the Mount, he says, why are you so concerned? Why are you so upset? Why do you worry so? You know, don't you, that God cares for you. 1 Peter invites us to cast all of our cares upon him because he cares for us. If God didn't care, then we would be speaking into thin air. But given who God is, who God has been, and who God will be, we can rest assured that God hears our prayers, that God is mindful of us, not because he has to be, but because he is. You all, I don't know about you, but I'm grateful for an opportunity to study Psalm 100 again. I was thinking that the first time I had the privilege of studying this text, I was in seminary. By the way, seminary is not where your faith goes to die, okay? It's where your faith goes to live. I remember that my assignment was Psalm 100. And I recalled that even as I was returning to study afresh for our time this morning. And it occurs to me that the beauty of Scripture is there's always more light that God has to shed on and shed from his word. It can always be fresh bread. And truth of the matter is that we can keep plumbing and plumbing and plumbing, and we'll never truly exhaust. So, as I said at the outset, best I can tell, Psalm 100 is 100%. Let's pray. God, we thank you for today. We thank you for the privilege of worship. Thanks for those who've led us so well in song. And as we have the opportunity to tell you once again how good you are, we're grateful. Lord, thank you that you have been faithful. And so we say to you that we want to be your faithful followers. Empower us by your Spirit so that we might do just that through Christ our Lord.